several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
At the end of last year, the state of New York was honored with the title of Wine Region of the Year by Wine Enthusiast magazine. But, you know, it was about a month and a half ago that we had Will Olean on the line, Will being the founder of Eagle Crest Vineyards and also Oneida Vineyard. And we were talking about something that really is the polar opposite of being wine region of the year. It is being perhaps the wine region victim of the year because of a situation that I can't even begin to describe. It is so completely outrageous. So I've got Will on the line, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what's happened since our last phone call. But we're also going to talk about the weather, because the Finger Lakes region in New York is being dealt a double whammy. It's bad enough that there are those that would seek to not only pollute the region, but put it in dire danger. But at the same time now, they've had a winter that is going to be a record one that probably has done a lot of crop damage. And Will, welcome back to Grape Encounters.
Greetings, David. Thank you for having me on again. It's my pleasure.
Man, so you guys are getting walloped by Mother Nature there.
It's a very humbling experience growing grapes in a cool climate, but cool is really an understatement. For the last 2 years, Mother Nature has definitely reminded us that she's in charge. Last year, we saw negative, 22 degree days, and that's not wind chill, that's Fahrenheit. And then this year, basically, it got cold around Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, we had our first really cold night before the snow fell, and if you hadn't hilled up your grafts and your vines, and even some of us have to take our vines right off the trellis and bury them, if you hadn't done that, before that snow blanket started to accumulate, you're in trouble. The xylem and phloem in those vines could be affected, and we won't know for a while, but we just had a ton of snow. It just wouldn't stop this year, and today and yesterday, blessings flow, because it was 51 degrees, sunny, and I watched about 6 feet of snow melting into the gullies that rushed down the gorge line between our Hemlock Lake vineyard.
Oh, hang on. I want to put on the song Heat Wave for you.
Awesome. But then I was just talking to some confreres, and they said, buckle in, we've got 6 more inches of snow. Don't get used to this. It's a mixed blessing for me. I ran out of wood this winter to heat the stoves and such, and so I couldn't get to the wood pile because it was buried under 6 feet of snow, and I just got some wood, and I'm stacking it up, and I'm like, yeah, sure, of course, now as soon as I order wood, we're going to have a heat wave. But rest assured, Mother Nature's coming back, and we're going to see another 6 to, I guess New England's going to get 18 inches.
So. Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, no.
In the meantime, the drought continues in California.
Really, I know that. And, it's such a juxtaposition of cultures. The wine-growing culture in California wants more water, and the wine-growing culture in the Finger Lakes wants far less. There's got to be some happy medium. We should be able to meet somewhere about Chicago and agree, and, we can balance out both of our situations.
How much would it cost to put a water pipe across America?
Probably less than it would cost to run the XL pipeline across America, David.
Well, there you go. And that would solve a lot of problems for everybody. You got too much water, we got not enough.
It's certainly better to send our water to our West Coast friends so they can grow world-class wine than it would be to use it to frack the wells so we can send the gas off to China and Brazil and make us that much less competitive on a world market. I don't know.
Truly amazing. Okay, let's first talk a little bit about what this weather means in terms of crop damage, that sort of thing. What are you seeing and what are the estimates? What are people talking about? I know you talk to the other growers and winemakers on a regular basis. So what's the skinny?
I do. I was actually with some marquee brands yesterday. We're all on a bus trip. I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, typically for us in the Finger Lakes, I can't speak to Long Island or the other viticulture areas in New York State that also certainly contribute to our wine region of the year status. But the Finger Lakes makes up about 70% of all the production in New York. And, you know, there's two things we're always looking at. We're looking at crop or yield reduction based on bud damage every year. But then we also look at vine and trunk damage, usually related to exposed graft points. So we don't know yet. As of yesterday, and I talked to John Engel at Heron Hill Vineyards, which is one of the top 10 tasting rooms in the world, and a bunch of others, Sawmill Creek, Argentzinger Vineyards, Hazlitt, Damiani, you know, who just got 3 90-point ratings for the red wines and the wine mags. They're also proximate to where my vineyards are on the other lakes. And they're seeing maybe bud sampling at this point, 10 to 30% loss of crop yield. Yields in our area range anywhere from, I take like 1 to 2 tons an acre off of my vineyards, very low yield. Some people growing vinifera in the Finger Lakes take maybe up to 5 tons.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain sites that are considered like in the banana belt on Seneca Lake, the southeast side. That would sound like huge overcropping to me, but, you know, they continue to win double golds with their Cab and Cab Sauv, Cab Franc, Syrah, even they do. I had a, last night on the bus, I had a 2012 Syrah, sort of unheard of in the Finger Lakes. So anyway, you know, 10 to 30% is what we're guessing at this point. Of course, who knows? Those are bud samples. Typically, in a bad winter, we might see 10%. So 30 is cusping on, that's a third of our crop. That, you know, following the winter before, which was really much colder with less snow cover, you know, that did produce some great grapes. It was beautiful vintage, but crops were down some.
So we'll call it a borderline disaster.
It could be. You know, we're always hesitant. You know, 2 years ago, I think I mentioned in my last conversation with you, I lost 14 acres of Labrusca Niagara grapes. I'm not.
And what does that amount to in dollars? Do you know?
So here it costs about $25,000 an acre to replant.
Uh oh.
So 25 times 14 acres is ouchie.
What is that?
Let's see, 25 times 10 is 250,000. 25 times
it's over a
4
quor-
is another 100,000.
It's $350,000.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
And, you know, in the Finger Lakes, because we do take lower yields so we can produce ripe fruit, that's a big hit. You know, I wasn't insured against that, so I'm looking at gradually replanting. The good news in all that is I'm going to be replanting Labrusca grapes with vinifera grapes. So we're going to plant some Champagne Clone, Chardonnay, and some Riesling and some Pinot Noir. And we're going to have at it. So it's sort of the renaissance of my place. But at the same time, you know, I don't have the $350,000 to 2 years in a row. You know, we'll have to see what happens. Really, we got the bud damage, which reduces our crop yield, which if it's going to be a really high year, it sort of is self-limiting. We get better fruit maybe because we don't have to go out and drop fruit. You know, it sort of auto-corrects. Or it could be a total disaster. Like these two warm days here, winter has definitely not left us. As I mentioned at the open, if we're expecting 6 inches this weekend of snow and it warms up, you know, already I see the cherry trees swelling and the buds are starting to come out.
It fools the plants, right?
Totally. They wake up. And, you know, also...
Look at this!
Yeah, hey, it's spring and the degrees days of sunshine are, you know, the
summertime.
More sunlight. So they're thinking it's time to wake up. And if we get a chilling frost, goodbye harvest 2015. So,
all right. Well, that completely sucks.
You have to be a judo master if you're working in a cool climate like this. It's really humbling. We basically say, you know, we grow the soil. Hopefully the vines grow the grapes and hopefully the grapes make the wine. But
it is the nature of the beast, Will. You know, in every environment, you know, there's going to be challenges with Mother Nature and bugs and, you know, you name it. So,
right. It's not just an East Coast phenomenon. Our friends in California are struggling with drought-like conditions that are really an existential threat to the whole, you know, premium movement in California. You know,
the amazing thing is, though, they're really learning in California how to get some amazing crops with a lot less water. And, you know, there's so much science involved in growing grapes these days. And I think that they're learning to get very high yields with a fraction of the amount of water that they used to use, just, you know, through different irrigation principles and things like that. So it's not the worst thing. The problem is that all of the people in California who rely on water to drink and bathe in are probably going to have to move to the Finger Lakes.
We would welcome them. And
no, you would not.
Values are so low. You could probably sell your little cottage in California, and you could buy a mansion with a vineyard in the Finger Lakes, and we'd welcome you.
That sounds great. Hey, Will, hang on. We're going to continue our conversation because I want to know what's happened with the ridiculous fracked gas storage debacle. We'll call it a debacle that's going on in the Finger Lakes that threatens not just the environment, but life and limb. We'll talk about that next on Grape Encounters Radio as we continue with Will O'Lean. He is the owner of Eagle Crest Vineyards and Oneida Vineyard near Hemlock Lake. Consensus on Hemlock Lake.
That's correct, David.
All right. So we'll be back in just a moment with more Grape Encounters. Don't you go anywhere.
You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California. We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Coravin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Coravin wine access system costs a bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. Perfectly. The Coravin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Inert argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine that you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Simply click the Coravin link online at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Coravin at grapeencounters.com.
If you'd like to hear more no-nonsense talk about wine and all the fun that goes with it, check out winetalkshow.com. At winetalkshow.com, you'll find a massive library of content for fun-loving, unpretentious people who aren't afraid to step outside the lines and challenge conventional wisdom. We'll take you places you've never been before. That's a promise. Expand your wine horizons in unimaginable ways at winetalkshow.com.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
He's back, and he's not alone. Your Grape Encounter continues with David Wilson and a little help from his friends.
Little darling, I feel that ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear, yeah. But here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right.
And back with Grape Encounters Radio and talking to our good friend in the Finger Lakes region of New York, where there's a mighty fine wine being made, Will O'Lean. Will is the owner of Oneida Vineyard and Eagle Crest Vineyards. Some historic property, by the way, right?
Correct. We date back to 1872. I think we're the oldest sacramental winery, meaning a winery making altar wine in North America. And then we're one of the oldest premium producers of Finger Lakes wine. And 143rd year, I'm just sampling as I'm sitting here with you, David, our 2012 Meritage, which I think will be the first released 140th anniversary vintage in America.
Oh, you know what? Thanks for making me feel bad.
I know, and it's a beautiful bottle. I've only
You owe me some wine, by the way. You were going to send me some wine. You never did.
It's in the mail. I'll call you in the morning.
All right, let's talk about the salt caves under Seneca Lake, because that's where this company that is fracking gas. Where is all the gas being fracked? The word frack doesn't even sound nice, does it?
It doesn't sound nice.
No.
You know, and so we're not activists. We're fractivists. Because
you're fractivists.
That's right. And so the last time, just to update the David and Goliath story that's unfolding unbelievably in the wine destination of the world for 2015, the Finger Lakes wine region, you know, one of the oldest viticulture areas in America, dating back to the 1800s and before, of course. But basically what's happening is a Texas-based gas supply company wants to rebrand the Finger Lakes wine country as the fracked gas station for the northeastern United States. And really, their aspirations are to export that gas to foreign markets. We've been going at this battle now for several years, and it first caught us by surprise because no one thought, and anyone in their right mind would ever put a $6 billion industry at risk that's growing at double-digit rates, just winning award after award, and not only for our Riesling, but for beautiful, food-friendly red wines, Bordeaux and Burgundy-style reds. It's just insane.
And let's not leave out the value of tourism in the area and all the ancillary industries that support the wine industry.
That's right. We do about 400 million wineries in sales, and it translates into almost $5.5 billion of economic activity for really rural communities in upstate New York. These communities, before the wineries got traction, you know, you couldn't have a bed and a breakfast and a restaurant and art galleries and little music venues because there just wasn't anybody here but dairy farmers.
Right. And they come for the wine.
People come from all over for the wine. These are all artisanal farms where we're deeply rooted in our work here. And friends of mine and I, you know, we're talking about 8 generations of families that have worked up to this point, a century and a half of work to build up the Finger Lakes brand. They've taken seriously on the world stage. And just as we're cusping the awareness of the world, we've got these gas meanies saying that they want to dump, you know, 88 million barrels of volatile gas in abandoned salt caverns. And we did prevail upon our governor, I have to say. Governor Cuomo of New York State has been, he's a Democrat who has been extremely bipartisan in his support for all things upstate. He's been a tremendous ally of the wine industry and the craft beverage industry in New York State. And so, and he's invested the people of New York's money really in creating venue opportunities for all kinds of farmers. So it's just diametrically opposed to his vision, our vision, this gas storage facility. And
does he know we're rattling our swords out here?
So that's a great question. Just yesterday, I was on a trip to Albany with several marquee brands in the Finger Lakes, all of the owners, and we were meeting with several folks, elected representatives, and I actually happened to get your call, David, while I was sitting in a very important meeting, and I had the phone on vibrate, but everyone in the room knew I was getting a call, and I looked at it, I saw it was you, and I said, oh, look at that, perfect timing. Our West Coast allies and friends in the wine world are calling to see if we're still in trouble and what they can do to make this a national, at least a wine industry issue. They were shaking in their boots.
I love it.
They're shaking in their boots. So I just while I have your listeners here, if there are any wineries out there, you know, we would love to see a letter of support from you. David knows how to get a hold of us. And it would make, you know, Governor Cuomo certainly one of the people that has national aspirations to lead our country. And the last thing he wants is the two most populous states, New York and California, both very much wine-driven industries, to be opposed to him when he's done so much for us to this point.
And he better not mess with Grape Encounters.
Right on. That's right.
Because
I reminded his people yesterday, you know, that he's from the old side. He's from his family's from Italy. And I reminded him, you know, Governor, we're delivering you a world-class region here. The world is watching in 2015. And I don't have to remind you that Tuscany ends in NY.
We're going to have to run, but I will tell you this. We are in the process of launching Operation Vines Across America.
Love it.
Vines Across America. I have been talking to some big winemakers, and the sentiment is universally, let's do what we can for New York wine as long as they don't attempt to overtake us.
No, and as a matter of fact, I was just talking to an ally, and he's friends with the Cake Bread family, and we came to the defense of the California wineries when they needed to get direct shipping passed, and they really needed the New York contingent to support them.
Right.
And we were there for California, and we're hoping that California can be there for us.
I think you can count on that. All right, everybody listen. listening, you need only go to grapeencounters.com and we will provide you with links so that you can get involved. And Will, we got to get that petition online too.
Definitely, David. I'm now that we've had these meetings, I've got a few days here, and I'll get to a few things where we can get people into
all
action,
right,
and we can feel the California.
Okay, line. Okay, real good. Well, we'll keep up the good work. It's Will Olien. Will is the owner of Oneida Vineyard and Eagle Crest Vineyards. You can Google them on, you can Google them on Google. How about
there you
that?
Go.
All right, check
Google
it out.
PureWineOnline.com.
And the next time you have an opportunity to drink some fine, fine Finger Lakes wine, do it.
Absolutely. Lift a glass to us. We love all you guys.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you very much, David.
You betcha. The Grape Encounters News with Larry Gifford coming up next.
We like to talk about wine.
If you love wine, then you probably love to travel too. And there are two places you should really visit soon. The best part is you don't even have to pack a bag or leave your house. If you're looking for adventures in wine, log on to grapeencounters.com. There you'll find an audio library of more than 300 stories that will take you virtually anywhere you want to go. At grapeencounters.com, you'll find short subjects as well as full stories. All audio can be downloaded with one click, and you'll be amazed at the broad range of subject matter. Another place you really should visit is our Facebook group page. Simply search for Grape Encounters Radio or click on the link on our website. The Grape Encounters Radio group has become a formidable place for wine lovers to exchange ideas, introduce products, and share upcoming events. If you're not already a group member, then join the party on Facebook. Grape Encounters is more than a radio broadcast. It's a family of like-minded, fun-loving, unpretentious wine lovers. Come fill up your glass today.
Grape Encounters Radio is always on the lookout for great story ideas, even if they're completely and totally off the wall. So here's the deal. Share your story ideas with me or send a question you'd like to hear answered on the show. If I use your question or suggestion, I'll send you a special gift from EpicStyle.com. I want to know what you want to know. You can contact me on the Grape Encounters Radio group page on Facebook or email david@grapeencountersradio.com. If you've got something for me, I've got something for you.
We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Coravin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the wine going bad. And while the Coravin wine access system costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. Learn more about the Coravin at grapeencounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com.
1, 2, 3, come on!
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine. Today's top news, trends, and stories.
It took me by surprise, baby,
I must say.
When I found out yesterday,
don't you know
that I heard it through the grapevine?
And it is time for the Grape Encounters news. And before we jump into the news with our chief wine news correspondent, Larry Gifford. Larry, can we talk about fruit flies?
Oh, do we have to?
You know why I want to talk about fruit flies,
I know,
right?
You want to talk about fruit flies.
Just for the benefit of those listening, I went along with my wife to Larry Gifford's house for a lovely dinner.
Oh, thank you.
Prepared by Larry and his beautiful wife.
Yes.
And we sat out on the deck.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful evening, and just with a little candlelight flickering out there on the deck, we enjoyed some delicious wines.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself swatting things out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I assumed they were just mosquitoes because I was itching all over the place. It is mosquito season after all.
It is.
And go inside and I look in my glass and my glass is like the community swimming pool for fruit flies.
I hired them to do that.
It was amazing.
Oh,
I mean, it's not your fault because the fruit flies are just running rampant. They're taking over the world. I thought cockroaches were going to be the last living thing standing. It's going to be fruit flies.
Maybe they should change them to wine flies.
Wine flies. They love wine.
They do.
And the funny thing about it is when I was in Napa a few weeks ago and I did the segment with Ian Cobble from the movie Somm.
Right.
He had poured this really expensive Cabernet. And at one point, I looked down and there was a fruit fly in my Cabernet. And so I just reached in and I, you know, you take your finger and you dab it on the fruit fly. And a lot of times the fly will stick to it and you take it out and you finish it up, right?
Yeah.
Ian kind of went ballistic on me. Now, you know, not upset, but he said, let me pour you another glass of that. He says, because the fruit fly totally changes the taste of the wine. Honestly, he says, can't you smell that? It's like, you know, I can't smell a fruit fly. I can smell a skunk just fine. Fruit fly, I have a little problem with.
Yeah, they're a little small and dainty.
It wasn't until after I put my glass down and I didn't drink it at his suggestion that he told me how much the wine was. And then I said, forget that. And I got the fruit fly out of there and I drank it because I honestly couldn't tell the difference. And that was a $200 bottle of wine.
Wow.
So my wife, in the meantime, has been trying to capture fruit flies, and she has all these different methods of doing it.
Okay, so like
and this
what?
Is I think this is important to wine drinkers, because if you're in an area where you've got wine flies, as Larry calls them, you can catch them. And what you do is you make a little paper cone, and then you put it in a jar that's got a little wine in the bottom, and then the cone sits down in there, and the little point of the cone shouldn't quite go down into the wine. You know, it sits about an inch above it.
Sure.
And what happens is you leave a little opening at the bottom of the cone. The fruit flies go down that cone, and they go into the wine swimming pool. They can't get out.
The fruit flies check in, but they never check out.
You can also put like saran wrap over a jar the same way and put little little holes in the saran wrap, and they can find their way in, but because they'll fight to get to the wine. But once they get in there, they get stuck in the wine, and
I'm the same way.
They're goners.
Well, she was also saying she used like a hand vac and then just released them into the wild.
Oh, she got so frustrated, she just took a hand vacuum and just went around and just sucked the little things up. But my wife is one of the most gentle human beings in the world. So she didn't just leave them in there, which is what I would have done, and let them just suffocate in the hand vac. Because who cares about a fruit fly, right?
She released them to the wild.
She's catch and release.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fruit fly.
Can we get on with the news?
Sure, we can.
But actually, that's really important stuff for wine drinkers, because you will deal with issues like fruit flies. And you know what? The big wine publications are not going to talk to you about how to deal with fruit flies.
No, but the big wine talk radio host will.
Yes.
All right. Winery workers in South Africa were called into action to help contain a raging wildfire that threatened wineries and vineyards across Cape Peninsula. Now, the workers stayed up for 24 or 30 hours in an attempt to save grapevines, some of which were 200 years old.
And what happened?
Some of the vines were burned, as much as 10% in some of the vineyards, but most were blanketed in smoke right in the middle of harvest. Now, winemakers are really worried about smoke taint in their wines, but everybody's relieved that nobody got hurt.
But a lot of times, you'll hear somebody describe the characteristic of a particular wine as having some smoky, notes to it.
Absolutely. And so
why not?
So why not? It'd just be an interesting vintage, right?
Did you ever see the movie A Walk in the Clouds?
No.
It's probably the most overacted movie of all time. Actually, just one person overacts in the movie.
Who?
Actually, Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
I think this was one of his early films. And I'm telling you, there's a scene at the end. The vineyards all burn up.
Okay.
And there's this really old grapevine. I don't know what varietal it was. I don't recall. I can't go back and watch the movie because it's a beautiful movie. Honestly, it's beautiful. But that one scene at the end where Keanu Reeves pulls the grapevine out of the dirt and he says, we will rebuild it. We will make it better than it was before, or something like that. But I'm wondering why he pulled the vine out of the ground. Just leave it in there and water it, you know?
Well, give it some water.
Because his girlfriend's father certainly could not have been very happy about that. Anyway.
In Charleston, South Carolina, a wine bottle recovered intact from an 1864 wreck of a Civil War blockade was uncorked and sipped by a panel of experts over the weekend.
Okay, this story had me rolling. And I don't want to make fun of anybody, but when they poured the wine out of that bottle, did you see the photograph as they're pouring it out?
Oh.
Did you see it?
It's nasty.
It looked like sewage.
It was cloudy, yellow, gray.
It was gross. And even though the bottle is tinted, there's got to be some way that you can use some sort of, you know, refraction device to get an idea about what's in there. Hey, why wouldn't they use a Coravin?
So here's what they did. So they had a wine chemist at the University of Bordeaux analyze samples of the cork.
I know. This is the best part.
And he said the nose was a room-clearing mix of camphor, stagnant water, hydrocarbons, turpentine, and sulfur. 37% alcohol.
Yes. The alcohol remained intact. You know, there was some suggestion that maybe it wasn't wine. It might have been medicine or something like that.
Or fortified Spanish wine, a spirit, or medicine. They weren't sure.
Or very possibly could have been fruit fly killer.
Well, so the tasting notes from this panel of experts.
Okay, this is going to be good.
A mixture of crab water, gasoline, salt water, and vinegar with hints of citrus and alcohol.
Hints? It was 37% alcohol. It had as much alcohol in it as what? Bourbon, right?
But had they asked you to be on that panel of experts to try it, would you have?
No,
I would have.
You would have.
Absolutely.
You know, the minute I saw that coming out of the bottle, I'd just go, I think I want a Coke.
Where's your sense of adventure, Mr. Dave?
You smell it. It smells like you're not going to drink it, right?
I would try it. Yeah, I would. At Cornell University.
Well, wait a second. Ian Cobble's got me not drinking $200 Cabernet when there's a fruit fly in it. Why am I going to drink something that smells like kerosene, gasoline, and sewage?
Because you're a trailblazer.
All right, keep going.
At Cornell University, one of the most popular and most failed classes on campus is called Introduction to Wines. As many as 700 students.
Wait a second, where is Cornell located?
It's in New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
But that's like the second biggest wine state in America.
Oh, yeah, it's right up there in the Finger Lakes.
Well, how could they do so poorly up there?
Well, it's a really hard course. So they it's not
hard just, course or a beer drinking class.
I think it's a hard
don't
course.
Don't answer that. All right.
They learn about 6 or 7 wines per class from around the world. They're required to learn the characteristics of the region, including climate and soil properties, the wine's vineyard, producer, grape qualities, every aspect of the label, which varies from country to country. The professor also says that knowing wine is a life skill. You know why?
Why?
It will actually give you a one-up in social situations, David. So if you're entertaining clients or if you're at a party trying to sell something, a lot of people connect on wine and then conversations and relationships develop from there. But I don't know that you need to know all that stuff about wine in order to be able to talk about wine.
You know what I think you need to know about wine for social situations? You need to be able to identify a really good wine and pour it for somebody and watch the beaming smile come on their face.
Yeah, but this sounds like a lot of memorization.
I don't know.
I'm not big into memorization.
I don't really like to sit around and talk about wine in social situations. People want to talk wine with me, but I like want to talk about wine adventures, you know, and places that I've gone and experiences that I've had, not so much about the wine, because people, I think, are put off by you getting into tasting notes and flavor profiles and things like that, especially if you're in a dating situation.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
be the know-it-all.
Don't do that on a date. And don't show off your wine thing on a date.
Unless you're a master sommelier and that's what they're excited about.
Because they love you because you're a master sommelier. If he or she is interested in you because of that, well, that's a different story.
Different story.
Keep it down to earth.
In Idaho, they're keeping it down to earth.
Yes.
You hear what they're doing in Idaho?
I don't like it.
You don't?
No.
They're trying to change people's perspective about what wine can be. And one winery is now putting wine into beer cans. The Split Rail is one of the smaller wineries in Idaho, producing about 800 cases a year. It's using its brand Strange Folk, which is more hip, to match the idea of drinking wine out of a can. And they say the canning process is kind of like chemistry. So the can comes down the line, they inject it with gas, the wine goes in, there's no oxygen exposed to the wine, and then they have to inject liquid nitrogen into the can to harden it so it's stiff like a beer can.
They put nitrogen to harden the can.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. They do that with beer, too?
I don't know that they do that with beer, but they do that with wine.
How do you reseal that can? You got to drink the whole thing, right?
Oh, you got to drink
the whole thing. And these are larger than the average beer can,
12.7 ounces, so a bit larger than a beer can, amounts to 2 glasses of wine. A 4-pack will probably cost about $24, which is equal to 2 bottles of wine.
Okay. You know what? Not for me.
Okay.
But maybe in Idaho.
In Iowa, you ready for this?
Yeah. Wait, wasn't that Idaho, though?
That was Idaho.
Okay, all right.
This is Iowa.
I just want to be square here.
We're moving across the country.
By the way, they're making some great wines in Idaho. I really have enjoyed the wines that I've tasted from there, and I think they deserve more than a beer can.
They do.
They deserve more than a beer can.
Well, some do. Maybe some don't.
All right, okay.
In Iowa, they're toasting a new champion, David. A world record for the longest flight of a sparkling wine cork.
Wow.
45 feet, 9 inches. That's far way to pop your wine, your champagne cork.
Now, this is in Iowa.
Iowa.
Why in Iowa are they having a sparkling wine cork shooting contest?
They were trying to get some interest around like a wine festival.
Are you allowed to shake the bottle?
I don't know what the
I presume
are.
That you're allowed to
I'm
shake the bottle.
I'm presuming you are. And they're
now,
hoping to make this an
annual
thing.
Were these Iowa wines that they're shooting? You probably don't know.
I don't know the details. You're asking way too many questions for a not
Can't
so
you check that
story.
Out?
Yeah, I could, but that would be a waste of both of our time.
Because I can't think of an Iowa sparkling sparkling wine. But I don't know. All right. I know is that you could do very well in that contest.
I could, yes.
Yes, because you are a man who knows a lot about gas.
Oh, stop it. One last story to talk about. St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
Yes.
And, you know, usually people go for the Guinness or the Harp or like a beer for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
But there are wines that go with Irish foods. And Fred Tasker from the Miami Herald has some suggestions.
Because he would know.
Well, yeah. Corned beef and cabbage. He suggests a not too tannic red like Pinot Noir.
Yes, that's a yes.
Irish lamb stew with Merlot. In fact, anything lamb-based with Merlot.
Sounds delicious. I'm a big Merlot lover.
Irish coddle, a pickup stew.
What heck is coddle?
It's a pickup stew of leftovers, including sausage, bacon, potatoes, carrots.
Oh, God.
Nice with a red wine with a little heft, maybe an Italian barber's.
An Italian barber?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay. Not a Barbera, maybe?
Maybe it should be Barbera, but it's...
Maybe it could be a typo.
Maybe it's a typo.
Try it with an Italian typo. All right. Barbaresco, maybe?
Fish and chips, deep fried, goes well with the scrubbing bubbles of a California sparkling wine.
Scrubbing bubbles. He said scrubbing bubbles.
Scrubbing bubbles. Isn't that like cleaner?
That's a toilet cleaner. Why would he... You know, we make incredible sparkling wines in California.
Yes.
And he calls them scrubbing bubbles?
He does call them scrubbing bubbles.
Oh, forget it. You know what? I don't want to hear any more of his suggestions.
What do you suggest?
Well, it's not that. It's just, he insulted the sparkling wine of California by calling it, toilet cleaner. Do you think he meant it that way?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
I think he was trying to be clever.
All right. Anything else?
One more. Bangers and mash, juicy pork sausages served with mashed potatoes and gravy.
Guinness stout.
Oh, okay. We can go with Guinness. He's saying a Grenache.
What?
That's what he says.
Are you kidding me?
I am not.
Bangers and mash?
Yeah.
What are bangers anyway?
Sausages.
Oh, okay. All right. That's going to do it for the Grape Encounters news. Thank you very much, Larry. By the way, thank you for dinner the other night, too.
You're very welcome.
Very delicious.
It's always a pleasure to see your wife.
You are a good cook.
Always a pleasure to see your wife.
Okay. Well, I'll not read into that. Okay. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Corvus, the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the wine going bad. And while the Corvus wine access system costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. Learn more about the Corvus at grapeencounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com.
Grape Encounters Radio is always on the lookout for great story ideas, even if they're completely and totally off the wall. So here's the deal. Share your story ideas with me or send a question you'd like to hear answered on the show. If I use your question or suggestion, I'll send you a special gift from EpicStyle.com. I want to know what you want to know. You can contact me on the Grape Encounters Radio group page on Facebook or email david@GrapeEncountersRadio.com. If you've got something for me, I've got something for you.
If you love wine, then you probably love to travel, too. And there are two places you should really visit soon. The best part is, you don't even have to pack a bag or leave your house. If you're looking for adventures in wine, log on to GrapeEncounters.com. There you'll find an audio library of more than 300 stories that will take you virtually anywhere you want to go. At GrapeEncounters.com, you'll find short subjects as well as full stories. All audio can be downloaded with one click, and you'll be amazed at the broad range of subject matter. Another place you really should visit is our Facebook group page. Simply search for Grape Encounters Radio or click on the link on our website. The Grape Encounters Radio group has become a formidable place for wine lovers to exchange ideas, introduce products, and share upcoming events. If you're not already a group member, then join the party on Facebook. Grape Encounters is more than a radio broadcast. It's a family of like-minded, fun-loving, unpretentious wine lovers. Come fill up your glass today.
Grape Encounters is 100% estate-grown. We have, however, removed the pretentiousness and added a healthy dose of fun.
You make me want to get barefoot and buck wild.
And now, Grape Encounters with David Wilson continues.
Barefoot and buck wild.
All right, and we are back with Grape Encounters Radio. And you know, I had something completely different planned for this segment. But you know, once in a while, you get a great big surprise in life. And I got one just a few minutes ago, and I hurriedly have dragged that surprise into the studio. The surprise is the one and only Randy Arnold, the brand ambassador for Barefoot Wines. We had Randy on, I think, about 2 months ago, and I had absolutely no idea he was coming this direction. And here you are.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on, David. We came by for a glass of wine, and look at where we are.
So you were headed from north to south, right?
Yeah. We thought we'd split up the trip a little bit and enjoy Paso Robles. So.
And you could have at least given me a fair warning.
We could have. That's true.
Fantastic. Anyway, you know, it has been such a thrill. Ever since I had you on the show, I've had an opportunity to get to know others, including the founders of Barefoot, Bonnie and Michael. And we did an event with them, what was it, about a week or two ago? And so much fun. Great people. Got to spend some time up at their house also in Sonoma. Now, of course, they're not with the company anymore. But, you know, it's nice to see when somebody sells a company that they remain so incredibly loyal to the company and the brand that had done them so much good. But, you know, we didn't get to talk as long as I would have liked to. And I have dragged you into this room because there was a part of the conversation that we touched on when we last spoke that really has settled in my brain a bit more and really percolated. I think there are two distinct classifications of wine. And the first is the person who is wine geek and looks for hard to find wines or interesting values, or maybe will spare no expense to buy a great bottle of wine. But the lion's share of people who drink wine just love wine as a treat, something special and good and delicious and not necessarily expensive. And Barefoot really falls into that category, but it's a special brand because it has a festive and lovable nature to the brand that I think may explain a lot of the reason why so many people have so much affection for it.
Yeah, you know, the foot is fun, and it's the foot that crushed the grape. So when you look at the bottle, you get this wonderful impression of this wine-stained footprint, and that's how it all started, actually. It was the idea of the wine-stained footprint right on the label. 25 years ago, my goal was really to bring new consumers to the wine category. And we like to think of ourselves as house wine for your house. I say we're Monday through Thursday night, and then they can drink the expensive stuff on the weekends to impress their friends. And I'm very happy with that because Monday through Thursday is a lot of wonderful business that we can gather.
Yeah, and it makes good sense when you think about it. And I think we all do this, by the way. Even if you talk to people who are pretty high up the wine food chain, they'll generally tell you that their wine budget for most of the week is pretty modest. And so it's nice to have good quality, you know, very drinkable wines around. And then you're not squandering your money all week long and having to basically just compromise all the way across the board, unless you've got an unlimited supply of money.
I always would say is that if people don't have a good experience at the entry level price point, we've lost them. And that's really sad. So if they can enjoy a great bottle of Barefoot Pinot Grigio, for instance, the number one selling Pinot Grigio in America. And, you know, that is a really wonderful thing.
It's amazing in these wine competitions how many times in blind tastings, Barefoot comes out smelling like a rose.
Yes, Barefoot is the top award winner in competitions for both wine and bubblies. So that's pretty amazing. We really owe that to our fantastic winemaker, Jennifer Wall. She gets all the credit for quality.
What does that mean? They're the top medal getter, period,
we
of
have
any
more,
wines?
More medals than any winery in America in U.S. competitions.
So that's amazing.
It
yeah.
is. Totally amazing.
Now, some competitions will pit wines that are in the same price category against one another. Some of them don't. Do you fare as well when you're in a competition where price is not a consideration, or do you know?
You know, the State Fair, for instance, is one of the biggest competitions, and that's by price category. But we do really well in all kinds of competitions, the LA County Fair, Riverside, San Diego, and we're winning a lot of show medals too, which is really tremendous. When you can be better than a gold medal in a competition, you know, double gold winner for our region, those are really fantastic medals to have.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it really is a tribute to the company and Gallo. and also the founders of Barefoot, that they've managed to maintain a high level of consistency, continuity, and create a pretty darn good product that you don't hear really any complaints about. And Barefoot also is an interesting product because it is often part of something even bigger and greater, because a lot of people use it to create wine cocktails and sangrias and all kinds of fun things. If it's fun, there may be some bare feet right around the corner.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I love to do is cook with our wines too. So, you know, it's important to cook with wine that you would enjoy having a glass of. So, I've done cooking shows and we have a lot of recipes that we developed for Barefoot wines and cooking with them as well. So I love it because you need to buy a bottle for the table and a bottle for the recipe. So I just doubled our sales. How fantastic is that?
No, you could triple it. There's a bottle for the table, a bottle for the recipes, and then the bottle that's carefully stashed in the walk-in pantry while you're cooking.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, Randy, I so appreciate you coming down, you know?
My pleasure.
Randy Arnold, the brand ambassador for Barefoot, had so much to do with the creation of the brand's image and the inevitable success of the brand, the most successful wine brand in America. So, you know, I was going to say my hat's off to Barefoot, but I guess I should say my tennies off to Barefoot.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, David.
Hey, thanks for coming by. And again, it was a great surprise. I had no idea you were even in the neighborhood.
Thank you so much, David.
All right. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters for this week. We'll be back with another edition of Grape Encounters. So maybe next week, just pick up a nice, juicy bottle of Barefoot wine. Maybe a little Barefoot Prosecco. Would that be good?
That would be fantastic. That's our Italian Prosecco, so our newest Barefoot Bubbly.
Yeah, kick back, enjoy that, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, Randy.
All right, thanks.
I see the Barefoot champagne all morning, big house, red wine all night.